Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you here this morning. My name's Martin, if you don't know, I'm the minister here. I've just got one quick notice before we start the service, or actually as we start the service, if you like. Many of you know that we have a prayer time before our Sunday services from 9:45 till 10:15. And it's a time when we try to listen for what God might be saying to us, or if God might have a word for us to share with somebody else. And this morning we had something that came up, and we felt it was right to share it. This might be for you. It might just be for one person, or it might be something general that somebody needs to hear this morning. This was sung in the prayer time. I am not going to sing it because I don't know the tune. But here's the words. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. It's an invitation to all of us to encounter God as we come to worship. But it might be you've come with some particular need or concern this morning, and so the Lord is saying, reach out. And there's a couple of ways we can do that. One is simply through worshipping and giving stuff to God where we are. At the end, we do have the prayer team down the front if you'd like to come and get some prayer for anything at all, or simply just because you want to get closer to Jesus, then that's available for you too. But if those words struck a chord with anybody, please do something with them before you leave this morning. Thanks, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Now, this, if you've been reading your notices, you'd be expecting Steve Down to be leading this morning's service. I am not Steve Down, but I'm another Steve, so you're 50% correct. Unfortunately, he's not well this morning, so hence we're, Cliff and I are, I think the best way we said knife and forking it this morning, accordingly. So we do apologise if it's not as slick, no, we're never slick, but anyway, as normal. But bless you, thank you all for being here this morning. Later in the service, Martin's going to be talking about the freedom to follow. And we've got a period of time of worship beforehand. But we just want to kind of just spend our time just focusing on God before we continue our service. And at this point, we should say hello to anybody in the outer hall. Is anybody there? Okay, well, that's why I was quiet. Okay, it's fine. Anyway, hello everyone in the back row then. We'll do that then instead. But anyway, before we start our service, let's just lift the service to our Father. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just bring our service to you this morning. Lord, we want to meet with you in this service. We want to just get to know you a bit more, Lord. We want to worship you because you are worthy of all our praise. We want to hear your word this morning. We want to share with you what's on our heart through our prayers. We want to just spend time with you. Whether we're in our mature years or whether we're in our early years. Whether we're in our full health or less health. Whether we're troubled or whether we're just seeing your praise, Lord, we know that you always want to be with us, no matter what. And we thank you for that. So Lord, we pray that this morning's service, we can just be with you. Amen. Before we start, I just want to kind of focus on a couple of verses. From Psalm 103, 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. I just want to add, he doesn't say bit, over all. All right? Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his biddings, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of is a bit of an instruction. Okay? So we're going to sing worship this morning, and Lord, we want to ask you to praise him, all right? Join in the praise. When Steve was planning this service, he said, I want to start with a couple of bangers, all right? He kind of said that. So we've got a couple of toe tappers to start off with. We're going to praise the Lord. Stand up. Let's worship him. Valley, there's a lead to a song. Amen. One great thing is when somebody that isn't a musician chooses the songs. He doesn't think about keys, but never mind. All right, we're going to sing the next song. A Thousand Generations Falling into Worship. This is a song just focusing on the fact that we need to be worshiping our Lord and Savior, okay?
Your name is the highest, your name.
Be the King of Kings, you'll always be holy forever. Do we hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat. By the way, we should say good choice, Steve.
Good morning. First, a few notices. A reminder of the opportunities there are to give towards God's work here at Biggleswade Baptist Church. In recent weeks, we've been highlighting that we previously haven't maybe highlighting as much as we should have done the opportunities to give both through the banking system, and there's information on the church notice sheet about that, but also there are some offering boxes around the building. I think there's one just on the table over there, one in the entrance lobby, one in the back hall. So we just really encourage people to consider giving as part of their worship of God. This coming Friday is the funeral service for the mother of Jill and Yvonne. That's at 12 o'clock at North Hart's crematorium. And then there's a gathering after that at Mount Pleasant View in Lower Stondon. If you would like to attend, please contact Yvonne to let her know who to expect. I think now there's a couple of HBC-related, indeed, notices. Mike and Kev, so it looks like Mike's going to win the race.
Morning. Who's coming to Holy Bible Club in a week's time? Come on, there's more than that coming, otherwise we'll have to close. Any children here coming to Holy Bible Club? Are we going? So, it's a week's time. In chronological order, because that's the only way I won't get told off afterwards for missing things out, we have a meeting for leaders tonight, team leaders, daily team, at 6 o'clock. Really important because, among all other things, we need to talk about safeguarding. But if you can't make it tonight, see Heather to get one of these before you go home. Then in chronological order, we've got a PowerPoint. Am I saying this or are you saying this? Help is needed Monday to Friday from 7:30 onwards. If you click on the next slide, it will transform this into, well, you'll see what it's going to be like next week. Okay, but next week it won't look like this. There will be things in here hanging on the walls and what have you, but it will be a lot of effort from a lot of people to get it ready. So if you're available, if we finish before Thursday or Friday, there's things happening here Thursday and Friday which we can also help with. So don't worry if you're not able to decorate in here, you can always help with the next group.
Yeah, no round of applause. We've had enough of those. There we go. In chronological order, Helen Jones, who's organising a lot of the theme-related refreshments for the week, I'm not going to say what they are because it'll give it away too much, but she needs food colouring. If anybody's got part jars of food colouring, etc., you can give to Helen. That would be really good. If you know anybody that's coming tonight, send it along with them tonight. That would be brilliant. Some of this is on the notice sheet, but we're ploughing through. Thursday from 7 o'clock is the big cutout. Preparation of materials, piles of paper, 400 circles or whatever. And there's a church marquee to put up that Cliff can't do on his own. as evidenced at the church camp when it blew across the field. And to be fair, he was not trying to do it on his own, and Pete couldn't help him either. So if you can come along on Thursday, whether you're involved in HBC during the following week, next week, there's loads and loads and loads to do. Friday, again from 7, any completing of stuff that we need to do, and it's the team music group rehearsal. Now, down to those things that can involve quite a lot of us. Sunday, next Sunday, at 4:30, all the furniture needs to be made sure that it's all in the marquees. If you've not been here before, in the summer, three marquees along the front, marquee on the car park. Hopefully the sprinter will be gone before the marquee goes up, otherwise it may end up taking it with it. And all sorts of things, but for the team, that's the opportunity to make sure you actually know who's in your little teams. Thursday the 23rd, and it's good to let you know this because I know it's 10 days away or whatever, it's family night barbecue and show, tickets from Margaret Curry. And last but absolutely not least, Friday at the end of Holiday Bible Club from 12:15, the big clear up. It's gone quiet at that, hasn't it? And putting all the furniture back where it needs to go, etc. Ellen, have I forgotten anything?
Sorry.
Have I forgotten anything? Heather, have I forgotten anything? Right, anything that got forgotten, it's now their fault.
Great. Are there any younger ones who would be happy to come out the front and help me just for a couple of minutes? You don't have to say anything. If you wish to come up, that's great. We're going to play a game of a slightly adapted version of Follow My Leader. So all you need to do is follow my actions, okay? Is that easy enough to do? Okay, so I've got a few different things. At the end, the adults are going to basically get so much out of it that Martin's sermon will it will be needed. Hopefully, we'll see some sort of link, is where I'm going with this. So, first of all, follow everything I do from now. Okay, that was number one. Second one. Okay, that was the second one. Third one. And the final one. Now, this bit's going to be hard because your eyes are closed, I'm aware of that. maybe open your eyes for this bit, but pretend that they're closed. Okay, great. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. There were four things there. Martin's looking at me entirely bemused, thinking, how is this linking to what I'm saying? What was the first one?
Fishing.
Fishing, indeed. The second one? Parting of the Red Sea. Excellent. The third one?
Cliff working in his shed.
Cliff working in his shed. Noah's Ark. Noah building his ark. And the final one? Paul's conversion, the road to Damascus, getting blinded by the light and then following, being led. In each of those scenarios, following was required. I know it was a different type of fishing to that, but I've not got great acting skills for how they fished back in Jesus' time. But Jesus called his first disciples when they were fishing, and then they followed him. Moses obviously parted the Red Sea. He was following God's instruction and the people followed Moses. Noah followed God's instructions, and Paul, he wasn't following God's instructions, so God intervened, but then he had to follow someone who led him whilst he couldn't see, but also then followed God's will. And really the simple thing I wanted to get from that is that in each of those things, really good things happened when people followed God. And that is as simple as it is for us. And if we follow God, follow what he says in his word, follow what we believe he's teaching us, speaking to us through our prayers, then he will lead us to good things. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Steve and the band for a couple more songs, extend our time of worship. At the end of the second song, if Sunday Club and Youth can head out to your sessions, and then before Martin comes to preach, Pete is going to come up and introduce a guest who's going to share just for a few minutes. So thank you.
Thank you. A round of applause for Cliff's acting skills. Don't give up the day job, though. Anyway, pleasure. We're going to have two songs. As Cliff said, at the end of the second song, the youth are going to go out. We're going to sing the first song, Be Still in the Presence of God, Lord. And at the end of us singing it, the band's just going to gently play it. And we want you to use this as a time of prayer, all right? So we're just going to keep praying until we kind of feel as if you're there, all right? And then we'll sing again. So don't be surprised if it's an instrumental bit, but use that as a time of prayer. If you want to pray inside, that's great. If you even feel you want to pray out loud, that's great. The Lord loves to hear our prayers, no matter where they are, okay? So let's worship him again.
Thank you.
Lord, as we just raise our voices in our prayers to you, we know you hear every one of them. We just want to say amen. You can do it. It's all right. It's all right. There you are, Peter. There
right.
You go for it.
Okay. We've probably all got different voice tones, but anyway. Right. So I'm Peter. This is James, and in a minute I'll explain. This is Joanne. Some of you helped us a while ago. I did the Three Peaks Challenge. In fact, we did, and I want to say that we did the Three Peaks Challenge because, although I was 12 hours on the mountain, James was 12 hours driving, in 24 hours. So he was at least as tired as I was. And so it was a great, it was a challenge. I didn't do it in 24 hours, I did it in 26, but I did complete it all.
Well, a good part of only doing it in 26 and 24 was leaving his phone halfway up the mountain, but.
Yes, let's not go there. Right, so are you happy for me to say the amount, or do you want to say it? All right, so. A huge thank you to everybody, and that's partly why we're all here, because between everybody who gave, we raised £2,000 plus gift aid. So, Joanne very kindly then sort of offered to come and say thank you. And so this is Joanne Alpert, CEO of Adoption Plus, which is based in Moulsow. So it's kind of local, it's almost Milton Keynes. It's not a big national outfit, but they do a lot of work that's very good. But here we go. Joanne.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. I just wanted to say, to start by saying a huge thank you. Enormous thank you to these guys for putting themselves out over that weekend, and also to Jill for keeping us updated on Peter's progress, because I was not able to relax the whole weekend until I knew he was safe and you were both back safe. So thank you. And I just wanted to say that people like you guys who have supported us is enormously, enormously important to small charities like ours, particularly at the moment. Things are really difficult. If any of you are involved with charities, you'll know it's a really difficult time. And because we focus very much on children's mental health and well-being, the need is increased, but the resources are low. So we are always so appreciative of friends, individuals, businesses who support us. So I just wanted to start by saying thank you. And then to share a little bit about where your money's going and what we do. So we're a specialist therapeutic charity, and we work with children who are adopted and in foster care and in children's residential care. And basically, we support children who've had the very toughest of starts in life. When you're not able to go for support and safety to the people that biologically we're wired to go to as children to keep us safe, when those are the people who are causing us harm, that has an enormous negative impact on our emotional health and well-being and our ability to trust others. So the relationships children have with their new carers, their adoptive parents, their foster carers, residential workers, are enormously important, and that's the area we work in. So we have provided a range of therapeutic services to families and residential care homes and fostering agencies and adoption agencies. We are a small little group of therapists and social workers. There's only 9 of us full-time equivalents, just based, like I said, in, well, like Peter said, just not far from here. And we work in Bedfordshire. We work across the whole region. And in fact, a lot of our services benefit children much further afield. Although we're only small, we're very aspirational. We believe in the power of people coming together and supporting other people. And we believe in empathy and compassion, which I feel is, from hearing this morning yourselves, it's obviously something that would resonate with you. And between all of us, despite being a small group, we've had 13 books published that we've written to help other people working with children, so that we're sharing our learning so that as many people as possible benefit from it. The last thing I'm just going to share is that, as well as working locally, we try to impact as many children. And in fact, one of our books has recently been published in Japan. So we're helping to improve services across the world, which is amazing when you think there's just a few of us just around the corner here. But the last thing I just wanted to share with you is something very exciting that we're involved in. We're trying to promote relational health and well-being for children who've had this very difficult early start in life with their new parents and carers. And we've worked with Oxford University and developed the first ever relational health measure anywhere in the world. And it's currently being used to benefit children across the whole of the Eastern region. We've currently got over 2,200 adopted children who are benefiting from it. And we're now looking to scale up and benefit many, many more children in foster care and in residential care. And we've had Sir John Timpson. I don't know if any of you know much about the Timpson Group. Very altruistic and amazing family and organisation. They've supported us. So I'm not going to say too much more, but I just wanted to share with you that we help individual families, groups of children and families, and obviously we're trying to reach as many people as possible, children as possible. So having support from yourselves has been amazing and very much appreciated. And I am going to stay on if anyone wants to have a chat afterwards about getting involved in any way, because we're always keen to have friends, basically. So thank you for inviting me, and thank you for your support.
Yeah, thanks very much, Joanne. I just want to say something quickly. Peter obviously has been involved with Adoption Plus much more than I have through his personal family circumstances, and I've seen the impact that Adoption Plus has made on that whole relationship and the family. But just talking to Joanne and her team in the sort of few minutes we had on the way up, with sort of photo opportunity on the way up to do the challenge, I was just struck by, it really hit home, a couple of words that Joanne said when she said, you know, families and children that have had a rough start. That is one of the biggest understatements I've ever seen. Just a little bit of snippets that I picked up here and there, something some of these kids have been through, is just mind-blowing. And to have people like Joanne helping them out and getting them past that and through that is just amazing work. So Joanne, thank you for what you're doing, and it was only a pleasure for me to be able to help out and us to be able to help that out. Thanks very much.
Right, thank you very much. The last thing I've got to say is that, because Joanne's offered to talk to anyone who wants to at the end, but I thought she was leaving straight away. So if your car is blocked in by a car that I've got special permission to put over there, come and see me at the end. Thank you.
Okay, the reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 5 and the first 11 verses. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats there, left by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thank you, Cliff. Going to start this morning, that shouldn't come up yet, go away, thank you. Going to start this morning with a little survey. You just had a little clue there of what it might be about. Who is your favourite disciple? Okay, I have got a list that's going to come up. It's not an exhaustive list, but we're thinking about some of the original disciples, and it may be that we resonate more with one than with another. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the list up and I'm going to ask you to have a look at that list and think about which one out of that list you think is your favourite disciple. Okay, just have a think for a moment. And then we're going to just have a little straw poll to see where we get to. So starting, oh, this isn't going to work, it's going to come up automatically. James, anyone? James is okay, thank you, Lucy. John, anyone think John is their favourite disciple? Aren't you because you're called John? Come on. Thomas, good old doubting Thomas. Three or four there, excellent. Andrew, don't know who he is, cool. That's because your surname's there, isn't it? Yeah, Andrews. Nathaniel, Mr. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nobody? Simon Peter, what a surprise. Okay, and anybody just doesn't care about any of the disciples at all? Be honest. Oh, there's a hand went up there somewhere. Okay, good. Anyway, like most of you, my favourite by a long way is Simon Peter. I love the way he charges into most things with so much confidence and assurance and commitment. I love the way he inspires the other disciples with his faith and his passion for Jesus. He's a great role model. But I also love him because, just like me, he gets things wrong and puts his foot in his mouth when he shouldn't. Often he speaks before he thinks. And often then he has to dig himself out of certain holes because of that. He's very real. He's very human. He is not perfect. And that's one of the things I love about the people in the Bible. None of them, apart from Jesus, are perfect. They're all fallen human beings like you and me. The amazing thing about Simon, though, is after all of that, all the good stuff and all the bad stuff that's there, Jesus still trusts him to lead the church that he's leaving behind. He still trusts Simon to look after the other disciples. Now, there are a few things we need to know that will hopefully help us as we explore this story. For example, first of all, did you know this is not the first time Simon had met Jesus? Lots of blank stares. That means, no, we didn't. Or, yeah, we did. Get on with it. It's hot. If you go back to chapter 4, you read that Jesus was in Capernaum, and so was Simon, and so was Simon's mother-in-law. Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever. And it is so tempting to tell some mother-in-law jokes at this point, but I'm not going to. Oh, I know. Now, I don't know how well Peter got on with his mother-in-law, but let's assume he was grateful to Jesus for the healing. And let's assume that that healing, which he would have witnessed, would have also made him interested in finding out more about who Jesus is and what it is that Jesus has come to do. Because normal people don't go up to other people and heal them like Jesus did. So they've met before. Simon's aware of this man, Jesus. Then chapter 5, as Cliff just read, opens up with Jesus teaching a massive crowd on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Peter and his friends are part of that crowd. They're cleaning their fishing nets after working all night and catching nothing. But in order to reach more of the crowd, Jesus goes to Simon and says, "Can I borrow your boat? Can you row me out a little way so that my voice will carry across the beach to all the people?" Simon agreed to this, and Simon's boat becomes a pulpit for Jesus. And then verse 4 tells us, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, I wonder, have you ever stopped to think how offensive that was to Simon? Simon was a professional fisherman. He knew the best times and places to go fishing. And on top of all that, he'd just been fishing all night and was probably a bit tired. I stayed up to watch the football last night. Thank you. And I'm a bit tired this morning. And all I was doing was watching telly. Imagine working all through the night. You're an expert at your job. And then this upstart comes along. This carpenter turned preacher who knows nothing about fishing. He's not been to fishing college. You know, he's not done the fishing courses or anything like that. He's not got the qualifications that Simon and his mates have got. And he says, "Why don't you just chuck your net over there and see what happens?" Has anyone ever tried to tell you how to do your job? Who knows nothing about how to do your job? So you get an idea how Simon Peter might be feeling at this point. Has anyone ever told you how to do your job when you're tired? So multiply it. One of the most rewarding experiences of being a minister is just when you've preached your heart out at the end of the service, someone comes up and tells you how you should have done it. Fortunately, it doesn't happen very often here. And Simon, I think, does make his feelings known a little bit. He says, "Master," which could be just translated, "Sir, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." There's an inference there. We've been working all night because we know that's the best way to catch fish around here, because it gets too hot in the daytime and the fish go deeper into the water to be cooler, whereas at night it's cooler so the fish come up. You can almost sense the rebuke there. And then I imagine there's a pause for effect. And then Simon says, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And he could have added, "Even though it will be a waste of time because the fish are even harder to catch in the daytime, and you would know that if you had my experience." But apparently he didn't say that, or at least if he did, the Bible hasn't recorded it. And there must have been something Simon saw about Jesus that made him put aside his years of experience, go against everything in his brain that said this is the right way or the wrong way to do stuff, and do what Jesus said. And against all common wisdom and experience, his nets came up, filled to bursting with fish. So many fish that the boat nearly sank, The nets nearly burst, and they had to call their friends over on another boat to help them out. How would you react to that if you were Peter? What Peter does is to recognise he's in the presence of God, to fall to his knees and say, "Go away from me, Lord. Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Something about this miracle that Jesus does here sparks something in Peter's mind, and it probably goes something like, how on earth did he know all those fish were there? Only God could have known that all those fish were there. Oh, hang on. Is this God in human form? To which Jesus replied, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. What does this have to say to us today, along with our theme of knowing the truth and the truth setting us free? Well, I think it has several things for such a short passage. And the first thing, knowing the truth about who Jesus is sets us free. Knowing that Jesus is more than simply a human being, more than simply another prophet, more than simply another religious teacher, but is actually God become man, God in flesh, God with us, changes everything. And do you notice what happens when Peter's speaking? First of all, Peter calls Jesus Master, which is kind of like saying Sir. But after this, he says, "Go away from me, Lord." Goes from calling Jesus Master to calling Jesus Lord. And the word that we have for Lord translated in the New Testament here is the Greek translation of the Hebrew name for God. This experience has convinced Simon that Jesus is God. It might seem a bit strange to us, but only God could know where the fish were going to be. Only God could make the fish be there. Only God could have that kind of knowledge. Only God could do that kind of thing. You can't conjure that up out of nowhere. And it connected deeply with Simon because of the fishing connection. And it was just as much a miracle as the healing of his mother-in-law. And may well have been that final piece. I think it was the final piece, because as I said, he goes from calling Jesus Master to Lord. When you know about the truth about Jesus, the truth about who Jesus is, it sets you free to bow the knee in worship. It sets you free to know that this life isn't just about you. It sets you free to find purpose and meaning and order in our creation. So that's the first thing. The second thing tells us that Jesus can and Jesus does meet us in the everyday things of life, not just here in church. Now, perhaps when you were a child, you thought, we go to this building where God lives, to talk to God and hopefully to hear from God and to worship God. But the Bible makes it very clear, not just in this passage, that we can meet Jesus wherever we are. And, shock, we can meet Jesus in our place of work. How's about that? Stephen can meet Jesus in the cockpit. If he flies badly, it might be sooner rather than later, but hopefully not. Nice to know someone's listening. Excellent. If you're a school teacher, Jesus can meet you in the classroom. If you're a radiologist, Jesus is there in the radiologist bit, whatever it's called. Sorry, Catherine.
No, I'm a radiologist.
Going well, isn't it? I'm not going to use any more examples because I think the point's been made. What is your job called then?
Radiographer.
Oh, close! Oh, you've still got the radio bit at the front. Catherine's a DJ, everybody. Yeah. It had been a normal working day. Well, actually, it hadn't. It had been a normal working night for Simon. And then Jesus turned everything upside down in a moment. And if it happened at Simon's place of work, it can happen at your place of work too. If it can happen on a beach, it can happen when you're on holiday too. In fact, wherever you find yourself, this story tells us that we can encounter Jesus. We should expect to see Jesus in these places. Years ago, Ali and I went, I think we had two kids at the time, on a holiday to the Malverns. And did we have all three? Gosh, okay. Shall I just go now? With all three kids, we went on holiday to the Malverns and we sort of climbed up Great Malvern, which means we drove most of the way up and then walked the last bit. But if you've ever been to Great Malvern, the biggest hill in the area, there's a plaque at the top on the viewing point. And on that plaque are the words of Psalm 24, verse 1, which says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Everything in this world belongs to the Lord. Everything in this world belongs to Jesus. So, of course, he can be involved in everything in this world. Wherever you work, wherever you rest, wherever you play, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, Jesus is there. And what we need to do is to remember that and be aware of that. The whole of our lives matter to Jesus. Not just a couple of hours we spend here on a Sunday. So this story tells us that Jesus is more than human. He's God in human form. It tells us that Jesus can meet us wherever we are and sometimes does surprise us. The third thing this passage does is challenge us. How do we react when we realise who Jesus truly is? How do we act when we discover the truth? Because normally it falls into three categories. There's the category where people just say, "No, I'm not going to believe it. Whatever you tell me, I'm not interested. Leave me alone." Second one is, "Meh, it's all right for you to believe that, but meh." And the third one is to do what Simon Peter did, which is fall to your knees and say, "Leave me, Lord. I am a sinful person." Simon Peter recognized who Jesus was, and he recognized in that moment that he was standing in the presence of God Almighty, and so he fell to his knees. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a while now, and you've heard our teaching about Jesus, just as Peter did. The teaching that shows that God's love for us is so great that Jesus came to make it possible for us to receive it and enjoy it by covering the cost of our sinfulness and rebellion against God. And maybe as you've heard about God's great love for you, you felt that you don't deserve it, that you're not worthy of it. Why would God ever choose me? Why would God ever love me? And if that's what you think and how you feel, you're just like Simon. A normal human being who's got faults and failings, but who is loved by God. Jesus doesn't reject Simon, and he doesn't reject you or me either. It doesn't matter how much of a goody two-shoes you've been all your life, or how much of a naughty boy or girl you've been all your life, Jesus loves you just the same. I was trying to think of an illustration for this, and the best I could come up with was one from my school days. I know, just about remember it. And because it was only 10 years ago, obviously. We had a physics teacher called Mr. Shute. Mr. Shute often came into class drunk. The reason he got away with this was that I went to a grammar school. And grammar schools weren't quite so concerned in those days about how their teachers perhaps behaved. Not like in the comprehensive system that I later went on to teach in. But Mr. Shute would often come in just a little bit, maybe two sheets to the wind, not three, and there'd often be a pipe or something burning in his pocket as well. He was a real eccentric kind of public school teacher that you see stereotyped in the films and things. We actually had him. And we had him for a double lesson. If you remember those glorious times, you had to suffer for 90 minutes rather than just 45, or for 2 hours rather than just one. And we had Mr. Shute for a double lesson. And one of his little things was that he'd have to pop out of the classroom every now and then and leave us for a bit, either for a quick swig or a quick puff or maybe a quick wee, so he could come back in and carry on. We never knew exactly what he did out there, we just knew that he did it. And so one day, some bright spark had the idea. Teacher goes out during the first period. While teacher's out, said child moves the clock forward so that when the bell goes, teacher thinks it's the end of the double lesson, not the single one. Absolute genius. And no, it wasn't me. Because I was the wimp, the good boy, who held back, hoping the teacher was going to realise before we all went out and we all got into trouble. But that was the thing. And the person who moved the clock, or the person who was most reluctant to escape, I don't know why, because I hated physics. I got a U in physics O level. I remember that very clearly. I sat down for the exam. I put my name at the top of the paper, like you do. Got that bit right. Question one, left half a page blank. Question two, left half a page blank. I finished the exam in 5 minutes. That's how I got a U. I'm very proud of that U. It's the only exam I've ever got a U in. And it doesn't matter where we are on that scale of goodness or naughtiness, Jesus loves us anyway. And the challenge is, when we realise who Jesus is, and when we realise how much Jesus loves us, what are we going to do about it? And I've just been reminded of that verse that I read out at the start of the service. Could we reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by? Could we reach out and say yes to Jesus like Simon Peter said yes to Jesus? Maybe you've been coming for a while, maybe you've heard all the stuff, some of it's made sense, something's tickling away in your heart or your mind, and you think, I really need to do something about this. What you need to do is to fall on your knees and worship Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour, and allow him to change your life, just like he changed Simon Peter's. Now, when I was at Spurgeon's, they told us always to have 3 points in a sermon. Today we've got four. Didn't listen then either. Because this last one's really important. Okay, the story tells us that Jesus is more than just a human being. He is God become man. It tells us that he can meet us anywhere, at any time. It challenges us. When you meet Jesus, when you realise who he is, how are you going to respond? And then fourthly, to those of us who have responded to Jesus, he says this: don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. As Jesus called Simon, so he calls us. Knowing the truth sets us free to follow Jesus with complete confidence and assurance, because he says he will never leave us or forsake us. He says he will give us his power to be his witnesses. He says he will give us his words to speak to people about who he is. So when we know the truth about Jesus, we are set free to follow. And I mean follow. Disciples in the first century literally followed their teachers everywhere. And Jesus looks for people who recognize their sinfulness and their need for his grace, so that he can transform us more and more into his likeness. And he calls us to join in his mission to catch people for God. We've got a version of it up there, look, on the wall. To know Jesus, to know the truth, and to make him known, to tell other people about this wonderful Saviour that we've got, who sets us free from sin and from death and from hell. And that's the mission we're called to follow him in, to become fishers of men or fishers of people, to reach out to other people with this good news that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is our Saviour, and Jesus can turn our lives around here and now and for eternity. And following Jesus in this life means different things for different people. For some of us, that will involve giving up everything we're used to and entering into a life of ministry or mission work. And maybe there's someone here today who needs to explore that call. Maybe Jesus has been gently saying to you, I want you to step out in faith and do this full time, to be set apart, to be a minister or a missionary. But for the vast majority of us, that's not our call. And to be honest, this is where the church has got things a little bit wrong in the past, I think. Because what we do is we honour the few who are set aside for ministry, who go off to Vicar Factory for 3 or 4 years and come out with a bit of plastic to stick round our neck. The people we should be honouring are the people sitting here, because you're on the front line. You are meeting people who don't know Jesus on a regular basis, every day. Maybe in your families, definitely in your workplace. I get to sit a lot of the time in a nice cosy, rather over cosy office at the moment, which is very hot, and think about things in the Bible and think about what God wants me to say to you to encourage you in your Christian life. To use a sporting analogy, that the minister tends to be more like a coach or a player coach and the congregation are the team. And it doesn't matter how much the coach or player coach charges up and down the touchline screaming and shouting and waving his arms. Wasn't Thomas Tuchel great last night? It's what the team does on the pitch that makes the real difference. It's what you do day in, day out, that makes the difference. It's when you go to work and you know that you're going to meet Jesus there, because he's promised to go before you, he's promised to come behind you, he's promised to hem you in, and he's promised to put his hand on your head, hand of blessing. By the way, there's two references to God's hand on us in the Bible. One is a hand of wrath or punishment, one is a hand of blessing. In this context, if we're following Jesus, we can be sure that we have God's hand of blessing on us as we go into this place. So it's about consciously looking for Jesus in our workplace, in our social clubs, in the shopping queue, wherever we find ourselves, in the traffic jam, while we're waiting for that appointment, when we're snowed under with the demands of work. And how we react to those things reveals Jesus to other people. We are his hands and his feet, we are his mouth, we are his heart for other people, because he calls us to follow him, to do what he did, and to represent him where we find ourselves right now. Yes, it's exciting when someone feels a call to ministry, and I'd love to be able to help anybody out with that any time, but it's also really exciting to realize that we have a room full of ministers here who are called to witness to Jesus every single day of our lives, and we are free to follow Jesus because we know the truth about him. And it makes sense, really, doesn't it? Let's think about the fishing image a little bit more for a moment. Going fishing involves doing stuff. Again, when I was a teenager, I flirted with fishing for a while. Just found they're all too slimy and slippery and all that sort of stuff to do it for too long. But you had to go somewhere to go fishing. You couldn't sit in an office or a classroom or your bedroom and go fishing. You had to go out from where you were, find somewhere with water, preferably flowing water, that's got fish in it, and invite the fish, once you're there, to jump up onto the bank. No. What was it Cliff did? You have to do something. When you go fishing, you have to go fishing. And even then, if you sit on the bank and don't do anything, they're not going to jump up into your lap. If you even get into a boat and go out onto the river or the sea, you can't expect the fish to jump into the boat on their own. You have to cast your nets. You have to cast your rod. We have to go. We have to follow Jesus where he's leading us. Yet often in our churches, we expect the fish simply to jump in. It's what used to be called the attractional model of church. You know, big popular church in a community. People come because it's got a good reputation. Nothing wrong with that. But if we just sit on those laurels, we're missing all the fish that are swimming by. And Jesus calls us to be fishers of people. He doesn't want to leave anyone out. His call to Simon and the others that they should join him in fishing for men came so the good news could go out wider and wider. And if they hadn't followed him, we wouldn't be here today. So the questions we have to answer are, do we know enough of the truth of Jesus to trust him and follow him? Do we know enough of the truth about Jesus to know how important it is that we demonstrate his love to other people? If each and every one of us simply caught one fish for Jesus, we'd have to build a new church. Wouldn't have room. In fact, if half of us caught one fish for Jesus, we'd have to build a new church because we haven't got room. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be great? And it all starts just by smiling at someone and talking to them and being nice. And looking around here, I know that most of you can be nice. One or two might need a few sessions to get up there, but the rest of you, yeah, you're all right, you're there. Jesus is more than simply a man. Jesus loves to meet us wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are. He challenges us to bow the knee and declare him Lord, to move from saying sir to Lord, to move from saying master to Lord. And he calls us to follow. Where is Jesus calling you to follow him at the moment? Where is he calling me to follow him? And how do we respond to that call? Peter and the others, what did they do? They just dumped everything on the beach and followed Jesus. We may not be called to drop everything in that way, but we are called to drop other priorities to make sure that Jesus is number one in our daily lives. That's challenging, might be a bit scary, but it can also be exciting. Let's be quiet for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you don't want anyone to be missed out. Thank you that you reveal your nature to us, your love to us. And thank you for accepting us, sinful and broken as we are, just like you accepted Simon and all the other disciples. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect because you are. All we have to do is to look and see where you're leading and to follow. As the hymn says, let me see your footsteps and in them plant my own. So Lord, what are you calling us to today? Help us to hear your voice. It might be calling us to faith, just to say, yes, I believe, I want to follow Jesus. And that's all we need to say and do. Or it might be, yes, I hear you calling me to a particular ministry or service, either in the church or wider afield. Or it might be simply, you're calling us to be more aware and more conscious and more proactive with our faith where you've called us to be. Lord, whatever you're saying to each and every one of us, may we hear it, may we respond in obedience and in faith. And may we, like Simon and the others, go and be fishers for people and bring more into your kingdom and your family for your glory and for your honour. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a song that encourages us to declare in our lives, in our words, in our deeds, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Saviour to all the world. If you're able to, please stand and we'll sing together. Thank you. Jesus, we believe what we've just sung, that you are the Lord of heaven and earth, that you are the Saviour for all. And we believe that you have called us to follow you, that knowing you has set us free to be your witnesses, to be your disciples, to be your ambassadors. Lord, give us the courage to fulfill those words as we go about our daily tasks, at work, at home, wherever we are. We have been blessed with the greatest good news of all, that we are loved by you. May we be a blessing to others as we find ways to share that news with them, that they too might know that you are Saviour to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to serve to your praise and glory. Build your kingdom here amongst us and through us, and may we see others come to know Jesus as their own Lord and Saviour. And all the people said, amen. 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 Don't forget, prayer corner is open. Otherwise, teas and coffees and cold drinks through in the church hall. Bless you.